Adam got you. Adam's got you. All right, he's got his sword in his pocket. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. You're a prophet. 1 Peter chapter 5. Hebrew James Peter, okay. Well, let's get started. All right, guys, what do you think when you hear the word leadership? Keaton, what do you think? Crystal, we'll get back to you, Keaton. You keep thinking. What do you think of when you hear the word leadership? Cole? What's your question? Oh, God. Duh. Okay. You think of God. That's good. What else? What do you guys think over here? What's your name? Pardon me?
Mariah?
What do you think? How about you? Somebody who what? Somebody that's strong. That's good. What does leadership mean? Does anybody know what leadership means? How about you, Julian? Guide, lead. To show them a way. That's very good. Very good. If you were in leadership, how would you lead? How would you lead, Keaton? Not sure how you... How about you? What's that, Gilberto? I'm sorry, speak up, son. Lead them the way to God. That's good. What else? How would you lead? How would Adam lead?
How would
Adam lead? By example. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about. What do you think of when you hear the word servant? Slave. What else?
I'm a slave.
A peasant? Okay. What does servanthood mean to you? What does servanthood mean? Okay, living your life as a servant, okay.
Humble.
Humble, very good. And if you were a servant, how would you serve? Keaton, if you were a servant, how would you serve? Faithfully, very good, okay. Say that again. Yeah, poorly if the person was mean, okay, so it's kind of a conditional thing. Okay, well, I think in all this, the most important thing is, how does God view leadership? How does God view that? And we're going to talk about that. Jesus left us some important thoughts, and it's important for you guys to remember this. And if you take notes, you know, sometimes it's good to write notes because you got to write it down. It goes to your mind, and hopefully it'll land up in your heart. The first step to leadership is servanthood. You want to be a great leader, you got to be a great servant. Another person wrote this: "Blessed is the leader who seeks the best for those he serves." So a true leader in a biblical sense looks out for the best interest of others, not their own. You know, we see the examples of dictators in their own country. They're so self-absorbed. They don't care about their people. They care about themselves and their own agenda. A good example currently that's happening is the leader of North Korea. This man is so intent and acquiring his own will, that he will do it at the starvation of his own people. And so, a good leader looks at the interests of others. Jesus also still uses these principles today. He still serves us. How has Jesus served you lately? What's that? He served you well? Is that what you're saying? But how? Gave you some food? He's given us grace. He's given us forgiveness of sin. I don't know about you guys, but I still sin. But he gives us the grace. He gives us the encouragement to walk with him. He's constantly serving. The Bible says he ever lives to make intercession for us. He's still praying for us. And so here are some things that Jesus has said, passages in the Gospels addressing leadership. In Mark chapter 10, you don't have to turn there, it said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." Here, the God of glory came to this earth to serve. Isn't that kind of weird? The God of glory came to the earth to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Let those words sink in. He didn't come to be served. You know, Jesus is the King of Kings, and here the King of Kings is saying, "I didn't come to be served, I came to serve." Jesus, addressing his disciples who was wondering who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom, he said, "But he who is the greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who is humbled himself will be exalted." Jesus said the greatest in the kingdom is the servant of all. You want to be great in the kingdom of God? Be the servant of all. Wow. That's not what we think in our flesh. Our flesh is, oh, the greatest in the kingdom is where everybody's bringing him a bagel for breakfast and orange juice, and they're serving him hand and foot. He must be the greatest. And Jesus says, that guy's the least. The one who serves all is the greatest. Another instance in the Gospel of Mark, the disciples were arguing, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? And they're having this argument behind Jesus' back, and Jesus knows their thoughts. And he goes, "What is it you disputed among yourselves on the road?" But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. He sat down and called the 12 and said to them, "If anyone desires to be first..." Now, remind you in first grade, everybody rushes to get who's to be first in line. "Any of you who desires to be first, he shall be last of all." Or let me write that. "Anyone who desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and sat them in the midst. And he take him in his arms and he said to them, "Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me..." Whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. So Jesus says the greatest in the kingdom is one who serves all. And he's like a child who has this just faith in God. In our leadership, there's always submission. Do you guys know what the word submission means? What's that? You said, yeah. Well, give an idea what submission is. A kind of... Well... kind of like that, giving in. That's not bad. What else? Go ahead. Say that again. Going underwater. Well, it's a principle of being under something. You're under something. You're under authority. All of us are called to submit, to give in. And you know, I'm glad you said that, because the best definition I've heard of submission is this: it's giving one's preference to another. Giving your preference. It doesn't always have to be your way. It doesn't always have to be your way. That's submission. If you're in the army, you have to submit to your leaders. when you guys, all of you, have to submit to whom? Well, that. Our parents. You know, until you're grown up and get married and you're on your own, you submit to your parents. Why do you think submission is important? Well, you know, that's very good. The reason why it's important that you submit in the home, if you cannot submit to your parents, whom you see, don't you think it'll be a lot more difficult to submit to God, whom you cannot see? Excuse me? In the brain? Yes, that's submission. But see, God gave us parents so that you can learn as a practice, as a little child, to submit to them so you'll be able to submit to His authority. Because it's easy to disobey God because we don't always see Him. We don't always have that conscious fear of Him. But our parents, we, you know how it is. Oh, don't tell Dad, Mom. He's like my daughter this week. She's in kindergarten, and at school the teacher called her up, and she was kind of didn't want to do it. And my little daughter, she does this at home. She lollygags. And she walks real slow, and she's walking real slow. And her teacher says, Juliana, why don't you go sit yourself in the naughty chair? And that's where she sat. She got in trouble. And see, I always kid my kids about getting their names put on the board. You know, why don't you get in trouble today? And they're like, no, Dad, we can't do that. And I tell them, yeah, and if you do, there'll be consequences. Well, this week she tells her mom, she goes, don't tell Daddy. And she told the story. Of course, Mom told me. But, you know, and we talked about it. If it's something serious, I need to address it. And so we need to learn to submit to our parents on earth so we can submit to God who's in heaven. And so in this study, we're going to address these issues. It's the examples of submission, the pupil of submission, and the pearl of submission. And the name of this morning's message is Living Under a Caring God. Let's look at verse 1. The elders who are among you, I exhort. I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock which is among you, serving as an overseer, not by compulsion, but willingly, not by dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Here, Peter is addressing the elders. Oh, what's an elder? Okay. Okay. Well, I don't like the idea of very, very old. Yes. An elder, somebody who's mature in the faith. Yeah, she's elder. But he's talking about those in the church who've been walking with the Lord for a while. That's what he's addressing. Those who've been walking with the Lord. Like somebody can be, you know, let's say 50 years old and he gets saved today at church, that doesn't make him an elder in the church. He's still a baby in Christ. Our goal in Mid-High is to move all of you kids towards maturity. Maturity. What did I say? Maturity. Tomatoes, tomatoes, potato, potato. Root, route, roof, roof. But maturity. That's our goal. We want you to grow in wisdom and grace, just like the Lord Jesus did. And here Peter says, I exhort you elders to what? Shepherd the flock. Peter is motivating these elderly guys who've been walking with the Lord to be an example of Christ to the body of Christ. To be an example. Now, how does a shepherd lead? Or how does a leader lead in the church? Or even in the home, your father's? Or even your mom's for some of you? Well, first of all, a shepherd feeds the word of God to the flock. That's what's happening right now. We're feeding you breakfast right now. Spiritual breakfast. Right now we're having oatmeal. It's good. Brown sugar, dash of cinnamon, and a little dash of nutmeg. Yummy. And see, sometimes the food doesn't always taste that great, but it's good for you. It's going to help you grow. You're growing. Eat it. And also, a shepherd tends the flock by protecting them. A shepherd, you know, he has that staff. You know, he doesn't have this stick because it's a cool thing to have. He uses it to guide the sheep. Have you noticed they have that little crook in it, that little hook? Well, that's so he can get the sheep's neck and say, no, little sheepy, you come over here. Or he'll use it to whack a wolf or a predator. What's that?
Like in cartoons,
yeah. And you know, and sometimes God needs to whack us along the side of the head. Because God says we're sheep, and sheep aren't the smartest. He protects us, he guides us, he nurtures us, he cares for the flock. You guys are blessed because the leadership has these qualities for you guys. We want to feed you. We want to care for you. We want to love you. We want to guide you. We're here for you. The shepherd loves the flock. He's willing to give his life for the sheep. How about that? What did Jesus do for you? He laid his life down for you. That's what God does for you. Also, let's look at his attitude in serving. Let's look at verse 1 or verse 2. He said, shepherd the flock of God who's among you as serving. He's a servant heart. Remember, leadership is by example. It's by serving. It's looking out for the best interests of others. It's not like, I'm the leader, and how come you guys didn't bring me a breakfast burrito, and you go get me my coffee, and you... A servant looks out, or a true servant leader looks out for the interests of others. And now us as servants, we want to lift up our leader. We want to serve them by helping them lead by our submission, by our obedience. You know, when I go to work, that's my goal, is not only to do my job well, but try to make my coworkers better at what they do. To help them. Like there's a young man that I'm working with. He's new to what he's doing. He doesn't really know much. And so my job is to push him up, to make him better, so that he can be useful. See, there are some in this world who say, I wouldn't do that because that guy might take my job. You know, they live in this fear of, oh, he'll be better than me. You know, we live under God's authority, under his kingdom, with his resources. We don't look for the here and now. We look for the future. And we'll talk about that later. Notice the key words is serving, not bossing the Lord over, but overseeing. That's what it means. To oversee, to look over. You know, when Adam taught last week, it's not like, all right, Adam, I want to see what you studied. Tell me what you're going to say. You know, it's like, I'm just overseeing. You know, I trust that you did a great job. We're overseeing. Now, also, he says, the attitude in serving is not by compulsion, not by force or guilt. If you're a servant of the Lord, you do it because you want to be here. See, there are some churches will say, you need to serve. You're, you know, you. And you serve by guilt instead of out of love and out of a free will. So when you serve the body, do it with a good heart. When you give out of a good heart, a free heart, a willing heart. You do it willingly. And also notice it says, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. You're not doing it for your own edification. You're doing it for others. You know, I'm not serving because I'm going to get a paycheck. I don't get paid to do this. No. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It's my payment is in heaven. I'd rather have it there than, you know, trying to get a paycheck. I could do this with a free conscience. Yeah. And you know what? There's a joy in serving. Because you know why there's a joy in serving? Because that's how God created you. We were created to be vessels to pour out, to give ourselves away. You know who the most miserable people are in the world? Are selfish people. Selfish people are never satisfied. Have you been around a selfish person? You know, perhaps some of you are them. But if you want to have joy in life, Jesus says, give your life away. Serve others. You know, I get a thrill teaching you guys. Yeah, bud. That's good. But God wants us to give ourselves away. Do it eagerly. And also not as Lord over, but as being an example to the flock. Not to Lord over. You know, there are some people who try to control people's lives. Well, you know, as a servant leader in the church, I cannot control your life. Nor will I try to manipulate you to guilt to do something. I want the Spirit of God to work in your heart to move you. And that way you do it more eagerly and more willing. It's not like, what? You need to do this. You have to ask me permission first, you know. But not to lord over. So my example of submission is to be an example. We need an example of submission. I need to submit to you as well as you submit to me. See, if everybody's submitting to one another, what will happen? Pardon me? Yeah, can you imagine? You know, you first. No, you first. No, you first. You know, and our fights are over who goes first or who's going to serve whom. And, you know, and maybe we'll gain enough wisdom, we'll be reasonable and say, okay, you're more gifted at that. You do it. Yes. Ah, you go first. It's not like it's all about me. It's about others. Well, you know what I mean, but it'll be a fun argument. It's not like you'd be wrestling on the ground. Oh, I told you to go first. Let's look at the pupil of submission. What is a pupil, by the way? A what? Oh, a person. Okay. Yeah. A student. A student. And so look at verse 5. What does it say? Crystal, what does the first sentence of verse 5 say? Yeah. Okay, that's all right. Okay, it says young men. Mine says young people. But it says in the same way. What does yours say, Julian? Verse 5. I think you're in the wrong book. We're in 1 Peter. Chapter 5. Well, we'll just move on. It says, likewise, you younger people. Likewise, in the same way. In the same way. He's referring back to what he just said. You guys be examples. You guys not lord over. You do things willingly and eagerly. You do things not for dishonest gain. You guys submit with the heart of Jesus. Yes, Keaton. Pardon me? Okay, how about a few more minutes? Okay, just let me just finish this because you're going to go serve real quick. And so this likewise is a powerful word. And what he's instructing the younger people in the church is to learn from the elders. Learn from their example. And that's an important deal. Go ahead. Go. Julie, you got to go? Okay. God bless you. Now, they're going to serve in the children's ministry. And so you serve by, or he's instructing us to learn two examples. Our first example that we learn from is, our first teacher that we learn is the Word of God lived out in the life of Christ revealed in the Gospels. Did you catch that? What did I say? You said yes. It's the Word of God lived out in the life of Christ in the Gospels. See, sometimes I think us Biblehead people, we know the Word of God, but we don't link it to the life and the character of Jesus Christ. Hey, fellas, this is serious time. You could play afterwards. This is the Word of God, okay? And so we need to understand the character of Christ. That's why it's important that you read the Gospels over and over and over again. And when you read the Word of God and you read the letters in the Bible and all the other stuff, you can say, oh, that's how Jesus did it. That's why Jesus did it this way. We see it put together, especially in leadership. See, sometimes in the church, people want to create, they have leadership seminars and they're taking principles from the world instead of from how Jesus did it. Jesus has an upside down kingdom. The first shall be last. In the world, it's the first shall be first and the last are last. Let's look out for number one. And that's not so in our world, not as Christians. Completely different. Our second teacher is the life of others in the faith. We can learn a lot of wisdom and encouragement through the life of others if their life squares up with the truth of God. I want you to remember not all Christians live perfectly. See, I've come across believers, that guy, he was a leader in the church and I saw him sin. I saw him do something. You see a crack in his character. And you know what? We're all a work in progress. Yes, you can learn from our examples. Yes, you can learn at the direction of our faith. But ultimately, our example is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. When you start placing your faith in human leadership and in human people, they're going to let you down because they cannot live up to your standard. you probably can't live up to your own standard. I can't live up to my standards. Because, you know, at times I'm very hypocritical. And so we are to be a pupil of submission. And so why is it important for young people to learn to submit to the elders? Because, again, we learn to submit to God through practice by doing that. And also, the young person learns an important life quality. You learn to follow orders. That is a life lesson. Yes. You learn to help. That's good. But why do you think it's important to learn to follow orders? Yes. Speak up louder. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, look at the big picture. What happens if you don't follow the instructions of your teachers? What kind of grades are you going to get? Okay, move on. You don't follow orders. So your life becomes a habit of not following orders and you break laws. What's going to happen? You end up going into the court system. Could end up going to jail. Okay, so your life is taking this downward spiral into a pool of not a great life. Okay, you get a job and you don't follow orders. What's going to happen? Yeah, you're going to get fired. Or you get a job and they want to give you a raise, but, you know, you really don't follow orders. We can't give you a raise. So, you know, and you wonder, well, that's no fair. You know, I can't make money. But you can't follow orders. You can't follow instructions because you think you're smarter than them. Pride gets in the way. We need to learn to follow instructions. I have to do the same. I'm an older guy. I go to work and my boss says, Frank, I want you to do this, this, and this. Of course I'm going to do this, this, and this. That's what I get paid for. Yes, Crystal.
Well, in our social studies class, we do our homework. We get to listen to our iPods. One time I do my homework, so like everybody's listening to their iPods.
You got what?
I was like getting mad because I forgot that if we did our homework, we could listen to our
iPods. Yeah. Yeah. But we got to learn to submit with a happy attitude. When your parents tell you to go clean your room, don't get an attitude. It really, if you do it diligently, it'll be quick. You know, sometimes, you know, I discover, you know, being a dad, kids tend to make it harder than what it really is. You know, hello, just clean it. Don't complain. In 5 minutes, you'll be done. Or a half hour. It's not a whole lot of time. Or just keep it clean. You know what I discovered is the best way to clean and do stuff you don't like? For me personally? Man, listen to music. Yeah, listen to some tunes and clean. It's great. So we need to submit. Okay, also let's move on. I'm going to finish this last point because it's getting past time. It says, yes, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Why is it important? Or what is humility? Yes. Well, yeah, I know what you mean. But in a biblical sense, humility means, oh gosh, the thought was in my mind and I forgot. It's not being embarrassed. It's meaning that you don't think so much of yourself. It means that you don't think your stuff stinks. You realize your stuff does stink like everybody else. You don't think you're better than somebody else. True humility looks for the best in others. That's what God means by humility. He says, be clothed with it. Put it on. A truly humble person realizes it's only by grace of God that he can stand. He realized that it was God who saved him and paid a blood price for a soul. A truly humble person desires to see others do well and is one who's willing to come alongside this individual and help him do well. And then this is the way of Jesus. Help others improve their lives because of the love of Christ in your heart. Clothe yourself with humility. And if you do that, you're able to say, okay, Mom, Dad, I'll listen to you because I know you love me. You look out for my best interest. And when I clean my room or I follow your instructions, it's best for the family. Because when does family feuds begin? When somebody's not submitting. You didn't clean your room. You know, your parents don't need to turn into Hitler because you disobey. Seriously. Make life easy. Say, they give you instruction. Okay, Mom, Dad, I'll do that. Get it done. You know what? You'll probably freak him out this week. Little Johnny obeyed the first time. I don't believe it. And you know what? Life will be good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you gave us your Son, who is our example of submission, that he laid his life down for the flock. Not because he had to, because he wanted to. It was the joy set before him. And Lord, help us to learn the example of Jesus in our submission to one another. Help us to look out for each other's interests to the praise and glory of you, Father. And Lord, I pray that these words would sink deep in our hearts this week and that it would become our practice to submit to you and to one another. And Lord, I pray that your peace would rest upon us as we do so, and that we would have the joy of the Lord as we serve one another. We thank you, Father, for your perfect work in our lives and in our hearts, and continue that good work. In Jesus' name. God bless you guys. Have a good week.